This is the 390th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC. Today we're going to recap the NFL scouting combine that wrapped up over the weekend. I caught up with CBS analyst Charles Davis, who's also working for the NFL Network at the Combine. We caught up with him in Indianapolis to discuss some of the quarterbacks that participated in the Combine. If you are listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back from break, and Charles Davis took out time to join us at the Combine in Indianapolis to discuss the top quarterbacks in the upcoming NFL draft. The Falcons were out and about in Indianapolis, and they did interview with, we were able to confirm the interviews with C.J. Stroud, Will Levis of Kentucky, C.J.'s from Ohio State, and also Anthony Richardson, the quarterback from Florida, who turned out the combine with a dynamic workout. But once you look a little bit closer at his record, well, I don't want to give everything away. Let's let Charles Davis handle that. Here we go, Charles Davis.
The top, Bryce.
Bryce Young's
Bryce
my
CJ.
Top guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Bryce Young's my top guy. And it's, you know, I know the questions about durability. So, you know, worried about durability. I know the questions about his size. All waiting to see what he weighs. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of when Kyler Murray came through.
Right. We were all,
like, if he's over 5'10", it's like a win.
Right.
And he did. He measured over 5'10". Mm-hmm. When Joe Burrow's hand size was an issue, he hit 9 inches. Right. Okay, we're done with that. Kenny Pickett, we're done with that. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to see if he weighs close to 200 pounds. If he does, I think people are going to, we'll move on to other things. Uh-huh. That's what I think. So we'll wait and see. But he's the ultimate playmaker, gifted playmaker, and better from the pocket than probably people give him credit for because highlight tapes tend to show movement. The second reaction, third reaction, which he does. And he can run, pick up a first down or two for you with his feet, but he's not really running, moving to run. He's moving to keep the play alive, and then he finds people. Anticipation, vision, all of that, I think he's the best one in the draft with all of it, the full combo.
Okay. And Stroud met with the Falcons. He's probably going to be there at 8, but they met with him.
Doing due diligence. You have to because what if he is sitting there? I know you drafted Desmond Ridder, but is that truly, like, do you say to yourself, that's what I take? I mean, we all come back to Jordan Sambui. Reason they didn't draft Michael Jordan was Clyde Drexler, who was one of the 50 greatest players in basketball when they did the poll along with him. They're like, we already have Michael Jordan. Right. We need a big.
Okay.
But sometimes you just have to say, I take the best player. That might be C.J. Stroud if indeed the Falcons are sitting there and having to consider it like that.
And Richardson, they've interviewed him too. He's created quite a buzz.
That's
here.
What I've
did
heard.
A good job in his interviews.
That's what I've heard. He's a great kid. I like him a lot. We just had an interview with him, and he's really the most physically gifted quarterback in the draft, bar none.
Okay.
Like, it's not even close, right? Will Levis might give him a little bit of a run. He knows where the weight room is.
Right.
He works out hard. But this kid is so cut and so I mean, he's wow. kind of like that Cam Newton wow factor.
Right.
Cam came through, although still not Cam.
Right, Cam is
just
– Cam did it.
Wow. You can see that came form words, right?
Right.
But this young man only has 13 career starts.
Right.
I like him. The best of him on tape you like a lot, but there's an inconsistency to the tape. Is he going to develop that? There's a good chance of it, but he might have to do it on the job. We don't have it. The Brock Purdy phenomenon happened because he hit two things. One, he hit the right place, which was San Francisco, and a lot of people do well in San Francisco because they do a great job with QBs. And two, 46, 48 career starts in college. It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, that's the Bill Parcells rule. He wanted to see you start 30.
We're not going to have it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Coach Parcells formula. 30 games, captain, 3-year starter, win so many games, all that. And I think it holds up. But we're not going to see it.
Yeah, the times have changed.
I mean, you're not going to see it. Like Anthony Richardson, under normal circumstances, he would have said, yeah, I'm going to go back to school and do all that.
Yeah,
but if you figure you're going to be a first-round pick, why are you going to put that in jeopardy?
Right,
I don't blame the young man at all. But he is working from a different place in terms of experience. And that's what he's going to have to work through. Not saying he can't, because he is gifted.
And what about Stetson Bennett from Georgia? Saw him in the middle early, late.
I want to see him. I want to see him do all the drills and run, because I have a sneaking suspicion his number is going to be better than what people think. I think he's a better athlete than what people see.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is just flashes. Like, I saw a couple runs in college. You saw a couple of those big runs he had. But the one that really got me was against TCU, championship game. I think he had two plays. He exited out on a blindside blitz, felt it, gave that baseball turn, got outside, got upfield. Then there was another one where he just put, you know, we overuse that term, put his foot in the ground, but he made that cut. He made a cut and whoosh. Now, I don't know if that speed is different because it was a college football game. But I thought to myself, I think he's more athletic than I've given him credit for. I want to see how that plays out. Now, he's got some stuff you got to clear up, because his run up to this week has not been good.
Yeah, he addressed he addressed his issues in Dallas and the rest. But
you know, if you can, you know, listen, we don't hold everything against everyone. Let's give him an opportunity. Let's see how it plays out. But I'm eager to watch him do everything, and I'm hoping that he's going to test here. I'm hoping he's going to run and do drills and all the other stuff, because that's going to give me a better baseline on him.
Well, it was quite the week in Indianapolis. A lot of news. We had the cross-section of the news side and the combine meet in Indianapolis in Athens, Georgia. Jalen Carter, who was considered one of the top players in the draft going one or two, was arrested on Tuesday. He had to fly back from Indianapolis and turn himself in on the arrest warrants in Athens, Georgia, and then came back to interview the following day with some of the teams. And some of our people, the agent saw him on the plane, Kevin Connor and his agency group. They were on the plane at 6 o'clock coming out of Atlanta, coming back to the combine. So Jalen Carter, who wasn't going to work out anyway at the combine, but was scheduled to talk to the media, that was canceled when the AJC story broke by the investigative team that morning. Alan Judd and Dylan Jackson, on the fact that Jalen Carter was at the scene of the crash that killed two individuals and left the scene, according to our AJC report. Now, that's going to be troubling for a lot of NFL teams, because they talk about, you know, brotherhood and sticking together. And he's allegedly racing, and there's an accident, and you know, if you're a real true brother, you go check on your brothers, make sure they're okay, not leave the scene. So that's going to be very troubling for NFL teams. And, you know, we've seen reports already that he's dropped out of the top 10 by our good pal Mike Sando with The Athletic. So Jalen Carter is going to have to convince teams he's not that kind of guy that's going to run when things get tough. And, you know, there were already some concerns about his character that nobody, you know, there wasn't anything to point to. But this new revelation is going to be very troubling for NFL teams, because things are going to get tough in the NFL, and they want to know if you're going to hide or stand up. In that situation, he did not stand up. You would think your instincts would be to go check on your brothers, make sure they're okay, but he wanted to take care of himself. Is what the perception is going to be from the NFL team. So that was one of the things that kind of got things started. Then Stetson Bennett, he hadn't spoken since his arrest in Dallas when he should have been at the Senior Bowl, but he was not. He was training. We finally got the police report out of Dallas, and it reported that he was hiding behind a brick wall, didn't want the Dallas police to find him in an intoxicated state. But he stood up to the microphone and took questions. I presented him with one, like, what happened that day in Dallas on his arrest, and he apologized to his family, not so much to the Georgia fans, and that he recognized that as a four, that he can't be in those situations. That meant he's Stetson Bennett the fourth, and he was more upset with the fact that he sullied his own family name there, and he took time to apologize to them at the scouting combine. So those were some of the things that went to the microphone and that the Georgia players had to address. Now, when things got to the field, they did pretty good. Nolan Smith ran a really fast 4.4. Kylie Ringo probably ran into the first round. And Darnell Washington, the big tight end, also ran very well. That 6'7", 260 pounds. A lot of teams are marveling at his size, speed, athletic combination. But one of my guys from Dallas, Clarence Hill, was like, well, he wasn't even the best tight end on his team. I was like, yeah, because the other guys all world. But, so that's what people got to work through. It's like, hey, if he was all that good, he would have did a little bit more at Georgia. But I know watching the games, I marveled every time the ball went his way. And was like, wow, look at this big guy. And, the hurdles and runs after the catch were something that do project to the NFL. He was a big recruit out of Las Vegas, Under Armour, All-American type guy. So he definitely projects. And those are the top five on my list. I got Carter, Stetson Bennett, Nolan Smith, and Kylie Ringo for the UGA guys who had combine issues, good, bad, or good, bad, and different. The teams are going to want to know a whole lot more about Jalen Carter and why he left the scene of a crash and why he's racing. That was the second one that we knew about, 89 miles per hour in a 45 zone. He was given a pass by the cop. Maybe, you can all go in retrospect now, but, maybe the cop needs to be held accountable for that pass. Maybe we don't, we're not going to get into the police situation right now, but that's what happened. That's what's been reported. We'll see Jalen Carter. He's supposed to work out on March the 15th at Georgia's Pro Day. And so we'll see how that goes. So with that, we're going to take a break here from the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We're going to come back and get into some free agency, the quarterback carousel around the National Football League, and wrap it on up here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach. An air freshener can make your car smell like paradise. A drive to Daytona Beach will actually get you there. Beach on. Plan your trip today at DaytonaBeach.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Welcome back to the podcast here today from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I want to take this time again to thank everyone who subscribes to the AJC and AJC.com. It's what makes all of this possible. Now, if you haven't joined our community yet, we have a special deal available right now for listeners to the podcast. You can get an unlimited digital access to everything the AJC has to offer for the next 6 months for just 99 cents. That's all of our stories on AJC, our terrific e-paper, and all of our newsletters, including Bradley's Buzz from legendary columnist Mark Bradley. That's just 99 cents for the next 6 months. So take advantage of this offer. Go to subscribeajc.com/podcast. That's subscribeajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, the first shoe dropped in free agency for the Atlanta Falcons today when they re-signed outside linebacker Lorenzo Carter to a 2-year deal. Lorenzo from Norcross High and the University of Georgia will be back. He played last season on a 1-year, $3.5 million contract. He spent the first 4 years in the NFL with the New York Football Giants. He started every game last season for the Falcons, finished with 58 tackles, 4 sacks. He had 4 of the 21, 12 quarterback hits, 15 pressures, an interception return for a touchdown, and a fumble recovery last season. He also took a block punt in against the Los Angeles Rams early in the season. It was the first signing of the offseason for the Falcons, who have $66.4 million in salary cap space before Carter signed. Now they have 22 other players to sign or let go. And general manager Terry Fontenot had this to say at the combine as they were meeting with agents and so forth. He said, "We're working hard with some of those players, and some of them we're going to be able to bring back in here and get extensions done." Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot said on February 28th at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, "Some will happen soon. Some will take a little bit of time. Some we won't be able to bring back." So let's look at this here on some that may not be able to bring back and some that are coming back. We don't have any news down the pipeline or any definites right now. We checked with the agents before the combine, and we started checking today with his signing here of Carter. And we just have, the Carter signing and nothing in the pipeline. But some decisions have to be made. Caleb McGarry, they have to 4 p.m. to tag him. He was not signed to his $13.6 million fifth-year option last season and came out and played his best season for the Falcons. Logic is that, okay, they wouldn't give him $13.6 million. Why would they give him $18.2 million now? Okay, that's what, if they tag him, that's what it would cost. $18.2 right out of that $66.4 million. If I got to project it, I'm not, and we haven't heard back from his people. So, when he was out fishing in Washington, they wanted to share his pictures and everything. But now that we want to find out about the news, we can't find the agents. So, we'll keep efforting them. And, if something happens, we'll report it. But I don't see, had some chats with, folks inside the building and they were happy with his play and, He came in shape this year. He started to catch on last year in the middle of the year what Coach Arthur Smith and Dwayne Ledford wanted of him. And, so he came back and had his best year. And we got numbers for that. But, that's one of their big off decisions, too. I was talking to one of their people at the combine. It's like, hey, so what are we, he was good, but, we were 7-10 with him. You're talking about bringing back people who, you know, helped us go 7-10. So basically, they think they could upgrade at that spot. And it's not a lot out there in free agency, but there are some tackles in the draft that'll be there at 8. Ohio State's Paris Johnson Jr., Georgia's Broderick Jones, Northwestern's Peter Skoronski. So I could see that. I could see them letting him ride and replacing him with one of those big guys. They interviewed, too. They interviewed with Skoronski. I didn't ask Paris Jones, but I did ask Broderick. So two out of three, that's a sweep for us. Now, just, you know, for some people, there'll be a market for McGarry if they don't tag him or don't resign him. He had an 86.6 Pro Football Focus grade. His projected market value is at $17.7 million a year by SpotRack. I can see the Falcons not wanting to pay that. They didn't want to pay the 13. So, those are just facts right now. But he did give up 6 sacks. That's the problem. We, you know, going back, yeah, we, you know, there were some issues coming out. And one of the reports I had was he's going to struggle against elite pass rushers. And that's played out. Even last year, with his best year with them running the ball, being the number 3 ranked running attack in the league, he still had 6 sacks that he gave up. And he had grades of 54, 64.3, 62.8. You know, those are Fs in any school. And, you know, the 86.6, you know, that's close to, you know, if I'm nice and we got a sliding scale, that's a B plus, A minus. So that was really good last season in helping them run the ball. But his sack numbers are there. He gave up 13 as a rookie, 4 in 2020, and then 9 in 2021. Rashawn Evans, the former first-round pick of the Titans and a perfect replacement for Foyer Ulukon, he wants to come back, and the Falcons want him. It's money is the issue. But a couple of veteran linebackers hit the market yesterday. Kendricks out of Minnesota, and then Frank Clark from Kansas City. The linebacker market is out there. It's been upgraded. And they've also talked to some of the top line. They also talked to a lot of the top linebackers at the combine. And you can go on AJC.com. It was flying. We have stories, writing one story, doing a couple notebooks a day. Then we had the Georgia situation. I know Peter King on his column talked about he had walked 25,000 steps. I had 57,000 steps last week. So if I didn't have the beers to go with the 57,000 steps, I would have been really, really good. But, hey, we had to keep it moving up there, try to meet as many people as we could and to get y'all as much information as we could. And I'm going to leave us with a little tidbit at the end for everybody to keep their eyes on. So let's get through the rest of these. Those were the main ones. Lama Day Zacchaeus, was in a holding pattern, dependable second leading receiver. Right now, you know, they got time before the 15th. You know, they can do a lot here in the next week or so. You know, they like to do the news drop on Friday thing. So Lorenzo coming in on a Tuesday is a good one. Bradley Pinions, the punter. Keith Smith at fullback. He was named as a second alternate for the Pro Bowl. Isaiah Oliver, if he gets the free agency, I think you got to get him back because, your secondary is already kind of, you're relying on a 34-year-old guy in Casey Hayward, which, you know, he's a good guy if he's healthy. But it wasn't no surprise that they had talked to Christian Gonzalez, the fine cornerback from Oregon at the combine. So, you know, if you think you could replace the corner there at 8, you do it, even though you need tackles. The Falcons need everything, so, you know, they're going to use all the options. And Terry Fino said, they said, we need a lot. And, we've said that, you know, on defense, you know, you got Grady, you got A.J. Terrell, and, you know, they got Lorenzo Carter back. But you need a lot, and you need a lot of guys to improve. So he agreed with that. Eric Harris, cornerback, great locker room guy. You could bring him back in August if you really want him. I don't think anybody else is going to be beating down the door to get him. If the safeties, you know, start getting hurt and stuff, you just tell him, hey, Eric, stay in shape, buddy. You know, stay by the phone. You know, if not, you did a good job here for 2 years helping us out. Damir Bird provided a deep threat last season. You could probably upgrade there. You're going to try to anyway. German Effetti, he was McGarry's backup. You could bring him back in August too, you know, June, or if you want him for mini camp, you know, bring him back then. Mike Ford, I think you want him back. He was key special teamer, played over 361 snaps. You just wish he could give you a little bit of depth at corner. But, you know, he's definitely, you know, special teamer. He had 7 special teams tackles and a key block on Patterson's record-breaking touchdown. Anthony Fersker, you're hoping that John Fitzpatrick could take over this role. He played in 11 games, made 1 start as a quality reserve. That's what you drafted Fitzpatrick for. He's a big man. You want to see him if he can handle the rigors of the NFL. Former Georgia tight end out of Marist. Elijah Wilkerson, he won the starting job. They brought in the kid from the Vikings. I'm going to give Schaefer a shot. And you got Jalen Mayfield, you know, didn't play at all last year. So, got to try to upgrade there. Vincent Taylor, the nose tackle. Bo Brinkley, long snapper. You re-signed. Restricted free agent Lamb McCollum. So I don't ever remember a team having 2 long snappers. I mean, it could happen, but I haven't seen it yet. Cordarrelle Hodge played 250 special team snaps. He's been with four teams, I believe it is. Dependable reserve. I think they can, you know, they could sign him and give him a quality deal. He was also one of the top. He led the team with 9 special teams tackles. Nick Kwiatkowski, quality reserve. I would bring Mecole Pruitt back. Him and Ritter seem to click with Kyle Pitts out. So, especially in the red zone, I bring him back. Jaleel Johnson, he gave him depth along the line last year. Kobe Gassett was depth at guard. Matt Dickerson was late season depth along the line. None of these guys are high priorities, but, you know, they're in the system. They know how you like to do things. They'll get consideration, you know, after this first wave here. He made Chuma Adoga, McEachern High. He made 1 start, USC kid. And Rashad Fenton, the Falcons traded a conditional 7th-round pick to the Chiefs for Fenton and Buzz Cook. A legendary agent out of Southern Mississippi had no idea what the Falcons plan to do with Fenton, but he played in 2 games, made 1 start. You know they're trying to upgrade at cornerback. If they liked him, he was just a stopgap for last year when things were going crazy, you know, then he's not coming back. But if they liked him and wanted to give him time to learn the defense and get his feet underneath him and so forth, then they can get him situated and bring him back. Now, before we get out of here today, and, you know, we are getting ready to swing into the pro day circuit. I just got my credential for the Georgia camp. Me and Gabe Burns are going to split up some of these pro days. Looking forward to that. I'm going to pull up my list here if it'll come up real quick. So we got Texas starting off on March the 9th, so that's in a couple of days. As far as we're concerned, the first one's going to be Georgia on the 15th. Got Tulane, Syracuse, nothing big there. Auburn Tuesday, March 21st. Then the quarterbacks start rolling. That's going to be the big week there. Ohio State is March 22nd, Tuesday. Then you got Alabama Wednesday the 23rd. And then Kentucky, March 24th. So that's Stroud, Bryce Young, and Levis. And then we'll jump down to March the 30th. That's Florida. That's Anthony Richardson. Hooker, I don't think he's going to be ready to play then. But they Tennessee is also on March the 30th. I don't have Clemson's date in here yet. Finishing up this list. But, yeah, those are the key ones You know, there's a bunch on the 30. You've got App State, Oklahoma, TCU, Fresno State, Tennessee, and Florida. So that's where we're at. Looking for Clemson. That'll be one that we normally go to and we'll try to go to again. So, yeah, we're going to go to the Pro Day circuit. And then before we get out of here, just the quarterback situation, because the Falcons, again, at the Combine, had a chance to tell us, you know, they were rolling with Desmond Ridder. But a few things have happened since then. Derek Carr has signed with the Saints. 4 years, $150 million. That fourth year isn't really, it's not guaranteed, but $100 million of it is guaranteed. So the Baltimore Ravens, and we wrote about this from the Combine, talking to Eric DaCosta and Jim Harbaugh, and also some deep background from the Wizard of Oz. They want to re-sign him. They've made what they believe to be a more than fair offer. But you know, nobody knows what the real holdup is. But reasonable to conclude that Lamar wants a deal better than the 5-year, $230 million deal that Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson. And the teams are just, hey, that's an outlier. And so if you look at Derek Carr's contract as a 3-year, $100 million contract, you know, then that's like $33 million a year, which is what the franchise tag is for Lamar. It would be $32 million. But he's, you know, wants the $46 million per year that Mahomes and Kyler Murray have gotten. So, you know, you got to see both sides of that argument. They look like they're headed for a, you know, it is a real long and nasty negotiation. I don't think it gets settled before 4 today, but we'll see. And if we have breaking news about it, you know, how it would work is they would put the non-exclusive tag on him. Then that means he can negotiate with other teams. They put the exclusive franchise tag on him. He can't negotiate with other teams, and it's $45 million a year. So they put the non-exclusive tags on him. The door is open for other teams to put forth an offer sheet. That's where the Lamar could go to the Falcons stuff comes in at. You got to be the Falcons. You got to be like, hey, we'll give up 2 first-round picks, but, you know, we got to come up with a deal with Lamar's mom. So I don't know. You're not going to put in an offer sheet without talking to them about what they need or to be able to do the deal. Or if you think it's Deshaun and you weren't ready to do the Deshaun deal last year, why are you going to do Lamar at, you know, more than the Deshaun deal? And he's missed 10 games the last 2 years. So, you know, that's what that's what's being weighed here. I certainly get it. If I'm Arthur Blank, if I'm the owner, you know, I go in on that one. And you know, my football guys are probably mad, but I see the empty seats. They won't even give you the attendance at the game. So, but the team is coming back. They're on a solid foundation. And this year is going to be pivotal in the turnaround of this rebuilding process. They play good, solid football for Arthur Smith. They've been making good, sound decisions in the front office. And then maybe, you know, throwing away some picks. And a lot of money for Lamar is not the way to go. But if I'm the owner, I would understand that wholeheartedly, especially in light of the fact that they went after Deshaun, which I understood. I'd heard they'd go after him. But that was before all the massage parlor stuff and the misconduct and so forth. So, you know, that's where we're at here in the offseason. It's getting ready to get real busy here. We got a free agency and Georgia Tech Pro Day on the same day. So a lot of these guys are going to be, you know, free and able to go get a deal out on the open marketplace. You know, they wanted to keep Lorenzo Carter. The list of people they want to keep is not very long. So they can keep, you know, and they know what else is going to be out there in free agency after coming back from the combine and interviewing and talking with the agents and so forth. Got to keep a watch on the Jesse Bates to the Falcons stuff. We saw David Mulligetta and some of his clients in Atlanta posting videos and stuff. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. That'd be a good get for the Falcons. But, yeah, so that's where we're at. You know, post-combine, we're getting ready to swing into pro days here. We got free agency getting ready to heat up. So it'll be a pretty busy next little, two, three weeks. Then kind of slow down a little bit and we start getting ready for the draft in late March. You know, we'll start getting our position by position stories together for April. And then the draft will be April 27th through the 29th in Kansas City. So that's where we are here in the offseason. And ideally, the Falcons should be getting really good or really better here. Or let's say better. They should be much improved on paper here. The depth chart right here on March the 7th should look a lot different next month on April the 7th. So that's my charge to the general manager. You know, improve this depth chart. At least we're in the offseason and give the fans some hope here in Atlanta. So with that, we're going to ask you all to take care, and we hope you have a great rest of your week.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have a different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.